Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. This special morning, we thank God that we can assemble together again and to praise and worship Him and to celebrate that great event in the history of the world, the greatest miracle of all, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we consider its profound effect on each one of us personally. If you're visiting with us today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Now, we look forward to glorifying God in our service this morning through the performance of the Easter Cantata. Also, this being the last Sunday of the month, we are all invited to join in the fellowship luncheon directly following this service. Pastor Otero will be leading our second service at Pacific Hills Manor at 2 o'clock this afternoon, and all are invited to join in that service. No other activities are scheduled for this afternoon. Our scripture reading for today, printed in your bulletin, is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 21 and 22. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Will you please stand now as we begin our worship with the singing of hymn number 137, Christ the Lord is risen today, the first, second, and third stanzas, hymn 137.
Heavenly Father, we come into Thy presence and this very special and glorious day. We know that every Sunday is the day of the Lord. We know that every Sunday we celebrate this day because one day Christ rose from the dead. But Father, the world, the Christian world, celebrate today the resurrection of our Lord. And we too celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. And we pray that as we praise God for the resurrection, and we pray that as we read the writings of the resurrection, and as we explain the reason for the resurrection, we may go home with the joy of the Lord in our heart. We are reminded of men and women who are far away from us, those who are fighting in Afghanistan, those who are around the world serving our country. We are a reminder of our missionaries, Fred and Carol Lewis, as they preach and go around in Los Angeles at this season and Fuller. We are reminded of Carol and Ruth Knotts as they are planning to come to America for 6 months and restructure their life in Spain. We're reminded of Eusebio and Marisa Perez in that beautiful Costa del Sol in Spain and Benalmadena. We're reminded of the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center right here in our town. We're reminded of Ruben and Irene Zachert, who they today going to conclude their third day of meetings as they preach in Lodi. Father, we are reminded also of the San Jose Sport Ministry. Also, Daniel Lacey with the Motor Sport Ministry, and Martha Paretti with the Drug Rehabilitation Center. These people, too, are celebrating the resurrection, and we pray that as they do, they may see the fruit of the power of God and the hearts of people in their ministry. We thank you, Lord, for our church, and we thank you for the place that we have in the community and around the world. And we are thankful for those who are listening in KKMC and KKXX and over the internet across the world. And we pray that as we praise the Lord, as we read his word, and as we preach his word, that they too may close the broadcast saying the joy of the Lord is our strength. Lord, we are grateful for the community of your people who support us and for this church who is faithful in their giving. And we pray that you bless the offering and bless the giver in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Now we see the Lord. Thank you.
after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him."
Born in the humblest of surroundings, Jesus of Nazareth was hailed by wise men as the King of the Jews. But his boyhood years in the simple carpenter's home bore none of the trappings of royalty. This Jesus was to be a very different kind of king. 33 years later, this ruler made his triumphal entry into the holy city on the back of a borrowed colt.
The crowds that went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation. Nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." At one time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them, and he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven."
how hard it must have been for his zealous followers to understand Jesus' description of his kingdom. He sought not the strong, but the weak, not the powerful, but those desperately in need of his powerful touch.
Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners."
Himself taken captive to the pride and fears of the religious leaders. Posing too great a threat to their authority, Jesus was arrested and handed over to Pilate, the Roman governor.
"Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews." Him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." The chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down from the cross that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed.
So guilty. I know the truth is the debt was mine to pay. So how could it be right that it happened this way? A fallen and sinful life I was leading. Now why is it your body torn and bleeding? It should have been my hands, should have been my side that was opened my heart that was broken. It should have been my hands. It should have been my feet where the nails were.
At times I am tempted to overlook your grace, thinking I'm worth the love you've given. I walk like
when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after the sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb and asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white robes, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go and tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you."
Why do you seek the living among the dead? Christ the Messiah is risen, just as he said.
Go tell the world all that you've seen today. The tomb that is empty, the stone rolled away. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek the living among the dead? Christ the Messiah is risen, just as he said. Go tell the world all that you've seen today. The tomb that is empty, the stone rolled away. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Seek the living among the dead. Christ the Messiah is risen, just as he said. Go tell the world all that you've seen today. The tomb that is empty, the stone rolled away. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek the living among the dead? Jesus the Christ is alive.
Thank you. Thank you all for that beautiful expression in music of the gospel of peace with God. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 9. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 582. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Matthew 28, verses 1 through 9. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your mercy and your love that you have made us partakers of the divine nature and blessed us with eternal life, made possible by the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we consider your holiness, and that we possess nothing to commend ourselves to you. We have no adequate words to express our gratitude for adopting us into your family as your sons and daughters. We thank you that you have guaranteed our resurrection and will transform our bodies and, like Jesus, never die again. We pray, Father, now for our pastor, your servant, Gabriel Otero, that you would bless him as he comes to bring the good news that concerns everyone, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Bring to pastor's remembrance, we pray, everything that you would have us hear. Give hearing and faith to any listening here or on the radio or on the internet who do not know you, that they would believe you and be saved. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. And during this month of March, we were able to focus our attention on the resurrection. There are four Gospels, and they invite us openly to look to Jesus through different windows as God dictated his word to different people. In the Gospel of Luke, people were looking for Jesus in his cemetery. And the emphasis is the look, a doctor, a physician. Relate to us this story in a dramatic way that Jesus is not in the cemetery. In the Gospel of John, being the loving one, being the one who relate in emotions to the Jewish people, John, rather than looking into the circumstances, he looked into people. And John told us, look what the resurrection has done in the life of people. Then we look in the Gospel of Mark. And Mark, being a disciple of Peter, who was, even though he was a fisherman, he was an studious man of circumstances. And you can relate to that if you fish. You can relate to that when you go to the ocean and when to go and not to go, when it's time to do this and the other. So he was more pragmatic, we say, in psychology. And he looked into the aspect of the resurrection as man will see it. Now we come to the climax today of the Holy Study, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. And I want to relate to you something very practical today, but very real. Many of you know that at 5 o'clock I'm there in the gym for medical reasons and for enjoyment until 6 o'clock or 6:30. And then I escape to my O. Henry coffee shop, and there I have my great moment of my life, 15, 20 minutes for myself alone when nobody knows me. And I open the newspaper, and sometimes I open the Bible, and I read it quietly as I take my coffee, one, two, or three, and then a croissant or perhaps a donut. And I have a donut, it will be a chocolate donut. This week, I just bought a very large Bible. My eyes are dimming, and so I said, I'm going to read it, and I put it on the table. And as I was drinking my coffee, two gentlemen, I know most of the people, they are all like me, and they come over there and they stay for a moment and they go on their way to work. Very loudly, they said, how can people believe in the resurrection? I think they say it so that I can cut their eyes. And I know in America, you don't interfere with people, but see, having a grandmother who came from Ramallah, and you know, you hear about Ramallah, and having a father from northern Spain and a mother from Italy, you just care less about no interfering. And so I stood up and I went to their day. We said, how are you, gentlemen? He said, fine. He said, tell me, why you cannot believe in the resurrection? I believe in the resurrection. Why you cannot believe? Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, and verse 2, give me the answer, my answer. So let's talk about why people cannot believe the resurrection. That's something real. My wife been 4 weeks away, and I had to do about 3 or 4 memorial services. And I have a box of ashes in one service, a body in the other. I saw what that really was this month. One of them impressed me very highly. I had to take sometimes a good walk after the funeral. People think the pastors are untouched. But I had to take a good walk alone and think I'm at the end of my life. Just like that body was there. And check your heart, what you believe. Matthew 28 and verse 1, that tells you that the old economy of the Jews is gone and the new economy comes up. And in verse 2, there are three things that you need to consider. How can you believe in the resurrection? And number one is this one, verse 2. Look at what Matthew tells us. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Now, the other day, 2 days ago, we have an earthquake right here in Half Moon Bay, and the earthquake was 2.1. When the East Coast people hear that we have an earthquake, 2.1, they tremble. When we hear 2.1, we say, oh, it's nothing. You see the perception of things, the material perception of things, the analytical perception of things varies according to circumstances. The Bible says it was a great earthquake. 7.1, I don't know. 8.1, 10.10, doesn't say. A great earthquake. And if I follow the Greek word magadol, I mean real great. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. Just one angel came down. No God. No Jesus. Just one angel. He took his helicopter, sit down, he came down. And it was an earthquake. An earthquake. And came and rolled back the stone from the door. How can people believe the resurrection? The stone, you know how stone is made? It's made of silicon. Silicon is made of two compounds, minerals from the earth. And sometimes they come from the ocean. It's an earthly material. Something from the earth that was blocking the entrance to see Jesus. And no man can move it. Was sealed by the imperial royal elite Roman soldiers. No man can move it. And the women who came over there, as Luke tell us, they were thinking, well, what are we going to do? We have to embalm the Lord's body, and who's going to move away the stone? It's a heavy stone, no easy to move. Actually, nobody can move. There was sealed. An angel came from heaven and moved the stone away. The first thing that needs to happen in order to believe in the resurrection is God has to move from your mind all the early thoughts and consideration for the resurrection. When a pastor goes to preach in a memorial service or in a funeral, he sees the body. It impressed me a lot. There is death, and we're going to preach about life. There is somebody who departed already, and we're going to preach about hope. But the earthly things need to be moved away. And always I learn from the family when they talk. I learn from Mark Nichols as he recalled the departure of his brother Ron Nichols. Remember in the memorial what Mark said? Mark said to us, Ron said good night. Wow. The stone has been moved away. No goodbye and I don't see you anymore. Good night, I see you tomorrow. Do you see that? I was called by somebody unknown in the city of San Jose in the radio. The unfortunate situation that his wife passed away, and Elenita and Ariel and myself went to help the family to do the memorial service. a very German family. You know how German families are. They're very to themselves and hardly to speak. And I told them, I want to hear them. I want to hear you. I want to hear your heart. During the memorial service, I want you to speak to me so that I can preach. And I went with my closed Bible with no sermon whatsoever so I can build my sermon right there. And it was great. People were talking about Mama and how good she was and how she cooked and all this and this. And his the older son was talking, and suddenly I see, you know, usually I'm very formal, and then I see a man, the husband, coming up. He stood up, and I thought maybe he doesn't like what his son said. He stood up, big German fellow, stood up like this and hugged his son, and he looked to all of us. Very few words, but when they speak, you listen. Very few words, and then he looked to us, and he said, it's a bitter pill to take, he said. I've been married for 49 years, but we are people. We hope. And so I've reached the hope of God. You see, the first thing that needs to happen is that you drop your analysis, that you put away all the things you want to study, and you let God to speak to you. And actually, unless God brings an earthquake in your life, you never make it. Let me show you. Put one hand in Matthew and go with me to John 20. We did this before, but just for remembrance of this. In John 20 and in verse 6 and in verse 7, here is someone who was with Jesus for 3 years, Peter. The Bible says, then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and see the linen cloth lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but wrapped together in a place by itself. And he made no statement. He looks and he says, the body is not here, but I, my mind, my finite mind, my tiny tingling ant mind cannot conceive what happened. And he never came to the conclusion. But you look in the next verse, come John, and he looked and he remembered what Jesus said, and he believed. You see that? First step, how can I believe in the resurrection? Put away everything you know in science, everything you know from this earth. It is impossible that a dead body will be resurrected. Not too long ago, I had the privilege to help a chaplain in the Navy, and I was in a Navy cruise, and we put the ashes of an almirant right in the ocean. That ashes will be up in heaven one day. How? Don't ask me how. Because then the stone is still in your head. God has to move that stone. And so I talked to these gentlemen in the coffee shop, and they tried to argue, and I saw they had a stone, and I saw it, and I said, gentlemen, you have a bigger stone in your head, and I cannot take it away. And they were really upset. One man said to me, I'm a biologist. And the other said, I'm a great farmer from Gilroy. I own 40 or 50 acres over there, and I do this and the other. That's it. You have the biggest stone in your head, sir. And unless the stone is moved away by God, you cannot see God. And he said, I go to the church, to this church and to the other. Go to 20 churches together. Unless God moves the stone from your head, you cannot see. That's it. So think about it. It's not a matter of making the commitment. It's not a matter of saying, I'm going to believe. It's a matter of saying, God, take this stone away. That's the way they should start. Now look, that's number one. The stone needs to be moved away. Number two, somebody had to preach to you. Look at Matthew 28 again. And in Matthew 28, verse 5, the angel answered and said to the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. And the angel preached and said, he is not here, for he is risen. So you need to hear the right information, the preaching of God's word. You know, Paul in Romans, if you go to Romans chapter 10, that famous, fantastic chapter, what talks about faith. And in Romans chapter 10, Paul in verse 14 says, Romans 10:14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? See, how can somebody believe in Jesus when you never believe? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have no heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You see, that's what we need, a church, and we need a preacher. And how shall they preach except they be sent? That's why we send missionaries. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And so you need to hear the gospel. You don't need to have a dream. You don't need to have a voice talking to you. You don't need to have an experience. You need to have the gospel being preached to you. That's why you come to church. You expected that I will open the word of God and I will lay down for you what God said. Not what I think God said, but what God said to you. And I leave it to you. I cannot make you a believer, but I can inform you of what God said. And that's exactly what it is, my brother and my sister. And if you are listening to me and the boundaries of KKMC or across the world, it's for all of you is the same. The second step is you need to hear the word of God. You don't need to hear any story. You need to hear the word of God. You don't need to see a light. You need to see God. And God is in the Bible. And Jesus said, I am the truth, the way. And the Bible said clearly that the Bible is the truth. And so, my friend, number one, the stone needs to be run away. And number two, either you get a Bible and start reading your Bible and ask questions of somebody who knows the Bible, or you go to a church that preaches the Bible so that you can get information from the Bible so God can create that faith that you need. Number three. Number one, the stone needs to be run away. Number two, somebody needs to preach to you. And number three, the heart needs to be convicted. Look at Matthew 28, verse 9. And as they, the ladies, went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, all hail! Boys, I'm here! And they came and held him by the feet and worship him. If you put one hand here and you go to, again, John chapter 20, you see more drama. As I told you, every evangelist bring a drama into the picture. And in John Gospel in chapter 20, and in verse 28, you have the drama of the conversion of Thomas. And look what Thomas says in Gospel of John 20, verse 28. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Don't tell me that Jesus is not God. Don't tell me the Bible doesn't say Jesus is not God. Right here, Thomas said, my Lord and my God. How can Thomas, who believed not in the Lord Jesus, now he believes? Because the stone was moved away. The stone was moved away. The stone was erased from the front. And now he's hearing the disciples, the testimony of God's word, and then he saw Jesus. You hear me? There were three things essential. In order to believe in the resurrection. Number one, you need to ask God to move away all your human reasoning. You never will come to believe by proof that I will give you respect. Oh, so-and-so saw Jesus, and the Bible even talks about 500 people seeing Jesus. You will never go in this. Come to believe by you reasoning in. You're going to believe by God removing that stone. And you say, God, where are you? And then, I have news for you. I told you about big Bible so I can see it. I have news for you. God is right here. From page one to the last page of this Bible, God is right here. Doesn't matter what version you use. I use the King James Version. Some others use the NIV version, the KKC version, whatever version you want. Had to be a Bible, though. And if it's a Bible, not somebody saying something about the Bible, a Bible, a translation. If it's a translation of the Bible, then that's the information you need. And I'm very sure that you will read it and say, mamma mia, I don't believe this. Because you're Italian, you say, mamma mia. Mamma mia, I don't believe this. Then you knock the door to somebody who you know knows the Bible. Call the preacher. Call them and say, hey, listen, explain to me this. How can this happen? And let that preacher move you from one scripture to the other, from one to the other. I remember when I took my exam in engineering. My exam in engineering for my test was the power of the resurrection. And they thought I was crazy. Until I proved those communist professors that they were really wrong. See, I studied in a Roman Catholic university. And so I told the priest, you got some communists inside, and I'm going to discover them in my exam. And guess in the auditorium where the priests and the bishops are all there sitting. Until I discovered their heart. So how can an engineer believe in the resurrection? No, an engineer, a man, believing in the resurrection. An engineer can't believe, a doctor can't believe in the resurrection. No, no, a man or a woman can believe in the resurrection if God moves stone away. And you hear the word of God, and then conviction comes to your heart. And then you said, how can conviction come to your heart? Sometimes people are very offensive to you. This is a difficult country to live. But my country too. Every country to live. I was in town here, and somebody heard my accent and turned around and said, oh, you are the Latino preacher. Latino is good, but in America, it sounds bad. All right? If you say, oh, you are that black man, that sounds bad. And he said, you know, I remember when I came to the country, I saw a black man. I said, oh, you're a black man. And read the hand. The guy looked to me. In my country, being black, this is nothing. But in America, I guess it's an insult or something. They never saw the world, I guess. So they told me, he said, you Latino preacher, you are good, he said. Almost I was reacting. He said, you are good. He saved his life. I tell you. I'm saying this to you because, see, it's not a matter of listening to a Latino, to this, and to the other. It's a matter of being convicted by the Holy Spirit. See, I cannot do the conviction. I cannot do the conviction. Let me show you who does the conviction. John Gospel, chapter 16. John Gospel, chapter 16. Jesus is telling the disciples, I go away, ladies and gentlemen, I have to go away. Nobody understands it. And then Jesus explained, everybody was scared to death because they said, if he goes away, who is our enlightenment? Who is our protector? And then Jesus explained, John Gospel, chapter 16, and look at verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. The Comforter is a name for the Holy Spirit. But if I depart unto you, I will send him unto you. For what? Look at verse 8. And when he is come, he will reprove, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. See, if God removed the stone of your head away, then you get the information of your Bible in. You have to erase your hard drive. You know, you were born with a hard drive who is damaged. Not too long ago, I went to my guys over there in the radio and said, I don't know, I cannot work in the computer. I don't know what happened. And I got the good news. Your hard drive is damaged. And what is the solution? You need a new hard drive. Said, you got the information recorded? Praise God, I got the information in 3 hard drives because it happened once to me and said, never happen again. So he said, don't worry. They put a new hard drive, and guess what? The computer is smooth as can be. And when God gives you that new hard drive, then you can read that Bible, and then the Holy Spirit is able to work in you. And without you saying, I believe, the Holy Spirit push you in. He said, I believe. My friend, we believe in the resurrection. I hope you do. And so I have a word for you in Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah is in the Old Testament. is a book just before the book of Psalms and before the book of Ezra. Chapter 8 and in verse 30, this is my benediction to you today as you and I believe in the resurrection. Remember, if your stone has been moved away, if you have asked for counseling and what the Word of God said, and if God have moved your heart, let me read verse 10 for you. This was also a very precious moment in the life of Israel. This is what God said. Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send for portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. I feel good this day. Friday, at 12:30, there came a man here with the police to talk to me. See, he was evicted from the house with a wife and a child. And the police told me, it's okay. She works right here in the Safeway. He works in a company here that had no place to go. And they were at odds with their family. So he said, come to my office. Give me your mother-in-law phone number. I specialize in mothers-in-law. Give me your phone number. And they give me the phone number. And I said, Mama, how are you? She said, who is talking? Your son-in-law. She said, no, cannot be, she said. For two reasons, the accent and the kindness. She said to me, he never called me Mama. She said, sir, call your mother-in-law Mama, please. So he did. And he told this story. He told this story how he was evicted because he was renting for somebody else and he was not guilty. And Mama said, come here. Come here. Come here. You have been evicted from the kingdom of God because of the sin of Adam. And God is the big Mama who's saying today, come here. Come here. I love you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the resurrection. Thank you for the joy that the resurrection brings. And we know the difficulties in believing. We know the difficulties in understanding this resurrection. But thank you, God, that you specialize in moving the stone away. And thank you, God, that as you move the stone away, then, oh God, you bring the living word into our life. And you put those words into our minds so that our heart can believe and be born again. Doesn't matter who we are, Latinos or Americanos or black or yellow, whatever we are, you specialize in people. And I love you, God, for that. Bless your people today, those who are here in the auditorium and those who are listening in the large audience of the radio. In Jesus we pray, amen.
Thine is the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory, thou our death hast won. Angel in white prayer. are strong. Make us more than conquerors through thy deathless love. Bring us safe through Jordan to thy home above. Thine is the glory, risen conquering sun.
You stand, please, as we have the benediction. Remind you that we have a wonderful luncheon prepared here, and for those who want to stay, you are welcome to stay and stay with us for the luncheon, and later on I preach again at 2 o'clock in Pacific Hill. Let's pray together. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever. Amen.